Thank you all for being here this evening. And I want to thank Bill for those great songs. You might notice that everything he sang about was love. And that's the title of our lesson this evening. Love, a new commandment. And I appreciate Bill doing that for me. We talked about that this morning. And I just said, Bill, I'm going to preach on love tonight. So you pick out the songs that you want, and this is what he did, and we're so appreciative of that. But now, about his faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That's what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. Now the Greeks has four different words, all of which are translated love in English. But the Greek word agape is a higher type of love. It's the kind of love that seeks the very best for one, regardless of how one treats you, regardless of who he is, or what their attitude towards you is. That's agape love. Remember, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. That's agape love. Remember what Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Agape love. Again, think about what Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 8 when he said, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think you must beginning now to get the point, the love of God towards us, which is agape love. Mankind was not lovable, yet God had loved us enough to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So I ask you now to open your Bibles to John chapter 1 and follow along with me this evening's lesson. It's a lesson about love, a new commandment. Now in John chapter 13, we read the first part of an account of the Last Supper, an account that continues on through chapter 17. But this evening, however, I just want to focus on the first part, chapter 13, and just a few verses of chapter 13. In the chapter, we see Jesus was at the feet of his disciples. We see Jesus troubled in his spirit, revealing to his apostles that one of them would betray him. In verse 30, we see Judas leaving to carry out that awful deed, and his departure is kind of summed up with a dramatic statement, and it was night. Verse 30. And after he left, Jesus said in verses 33 through 35, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I have said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now that new commandment, brethren and friends, that new commandment is what I want to talk about this evening. And I want to apply it specifically to us here at Prairie Village, the family here at Prairie Village Church of Christ. Turn with me now, if you would, to Mark the 12th chapter. In Mark chapter 12, the passage tells us, beginning in verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. So in view of the teaching of love here, the first about loving God being from Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 and 5, and the second about loving your neighbor as yourself is from Leviticus 19 and verse 18. So you may be asked, in what sense could Jesus say, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another? The love that Jesus commands was new in its breadth, it was new in its width, it was new in its scope. While the love of Leviticus 19:18 was to be discharged within the Jewish state only. And the love that Jesus commands knows no such physical boundaries. It is love for all of those who make up the body of Christ, that great spiritual family of which we're all a part of. Just look at us here at Prairie Village. There are among us social differences, diverse backgrounds, different tastes and habits, but those of us who are Christians are bound together by ties that are much stronger than all of those different kinds of things that tend to separate and pull people apart. Within the body of Christ, those differences don't mean anything, and that is different. It is just like Paul expressed in Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29. I think we need to read that. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 26, when we get there. Paul said, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now we need to know too that this love is absolutely mutual. It is the duty of all, the duty of each and every disciple of the Lord to love his fellow disciple, and it is the equal duty of those fellow disciples to return that love. And there are no exceptions. This love that is to characterize us and is in fact commanded of us is to be, as Jesus says, as I have loved you. If you really want to know about something, you go to the source. And if you want to know about love, you go to our Lord Jesus. Let's look together at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 16. John wrote, Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We're to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the kind of love we are to have for one another here at Prairie Village. That is what we are supposed to shoot for. So let's talk about that love now. First, that love is absolutely self-sacrificing. You see, under the law of Moses, it was to love your neighbor as yourself. But under the law of Christ, it is as I have loved you. And that is more than self. More than self. Let's look together again at John, the 15th chapter, if you would. John chapter 15. Jesus said in verse 12, This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. He says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now Jesus was in the process of doing that very thing and more, because he laid down his life for those who hated him. So our goal to shoot for is to love one another more than we love ourselves. The second point. The love that we are to have to each other is also to be from purely unselfish motives. It is not to be from a "what can I get from this" kind of attitude. Think of Jesus. He loved his disciples while they were poor and unworthy. There was nothing of a material nature that Jesus was going to get from any of them. The motives of our Lord's love was derived from himself and not from them. He loved their weaknesses. He loved their errors. He loved their backslidings. And his love seemed the strongest when they least deserved it. One of them denied him 3 times, and yet he loved him all the more, even making a special point after his resurrection to have Peter told that he was risen. When Thomas rather sternly and obstinately refused to believe that he had risen, Jesus had him put his finger in the prints of the nails. Only the most unselfish love would do such things. And so, are we to love one another, brethren? Help the weak in the faith. Bend down and lift up the fallen. Love one another, not because of what we have, but because of what we are, fellow disciples of Jesus Christ. The third point, that love that we have love that we are to have for one another is to be practical. Excuse me. Jesus didn't simply profess love. He lived it. Love is not perfect unless it appears in action. Our Lord's love was active. How best can we explain it? Well, the love of Jesus walked in his feet, spoke in his tongue, and worked in his hands. It was with hands of love that he taught the great lesson of humility by washing his disciples' feet. I've known of so many cases, and I know all of you have too. I've known of so many cases where older brothers and sisters of Christ have lost control of their bodily functions, and the hands of love of a brother or sister in Christ humbly washes them wherever it's needed. It was with the eyes of love that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, and with the voice of love that he called him forth. Oh, how many funerals have we been to, all of us? I know I have. How many funerals have I been at where I've seen brethren weeping those same tears of compassion for a bereaved individual to whom they had no other tie except their brethren? It was with the feet of love that Jesus went about everywhere doing good. That is how our love towards one another is to be practical. And you know, brethren, love, just like faith, without works, is dead. I want you to come back with me to John chapter 13. The fourth point I want to make is this love that we're to have for one another is also to be constant and devoted. As we go back to John chapter 13, this time look at verse 1, we would find, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." He loved them unto the end. I believe that that is the way our love for one another ought to be. It should be devoted, constant, and unchangeable. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I'll tell you what. I think that this love is a proof to the Christian himself that he is what he ought to be. Let's take time to read 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. There the Bible says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now listen to this. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." That's a brother in Christ. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. This love, brethren, this love also is proof recognized by fellow Christians. Let me tell you, the love that characterizes Christians is a means of recognition. It is a language that tells us that we are with our fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. I have seen this love when I travel with the way that brethren all over treat me and act towards me. I've been to many churches across the country, and some even out of the country. And I'll never forget, and I think I've probably told you all about this a dozen times, but I'll never forget a trip that Jane and I took to San Juan, Puerto Rico a few years back. While there, we had Sunday services in a small church in the jungle of Puerto Rico with probably maybe 20 fellow Christians. The preacher came to the church in downtown Puerto Rico, came to the hotel in downtown Puerto Rico, picked us up, and took us way back in the jungle, they called it. They didn't speak English. Only the preacher did speak English. And, of course, we didn't speak Spanish. So he would preach in Spanish, then he'd translate in English to us what he said. But what impressed Jane and I was we were greeted at the door by all of them, every last one of them, and given a kiss and a hug. The service was the same as Paul stated it would be in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Let's read what Paul says it will be. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 4, and verse 17 says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ." Now listen now. "As I teach everywhere in every church." There was no difference, brethren, in the service in Puerto Rican jungle than the services here at Prairie Village. Paul stated that the same doctrine was taught in all the churches. That's the great thing about Christianity. When you're a faithful Christian, you truly do have friends everywhere you go. You will always have food and a place to lay your head because of the love that we have for one another. And brethren, this love is a mark or token by which the world can distinguish who are Christians and who are not. There's a very famous passage that is found in the works of one of the so-called early church fathers, a man by the name of Tertullian from the second century. You may have read about him. I have read things of him. But I think this is worth talking to you about. It is called Apology and is a defense of Christianity. Remember now, this was in the second century, I think. Anyway, in chapter 39, he wrote, and I quote, "But it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See, they say, how they love one another, for themselves are animated by mutual hatred. How they are ready even to die for one another, for they themselves were sooner put to death." That's what that early church father wrote of Christians. Even in the second century, the love that characterizes Christians one to another was apparent to all and distinguished the brethren from an unbelieving world. And you know, brethren, it's very easy to counterfeit various things that seem to characterize Christians. People can dress like a Christian if they want to, and there should be a difference. They can talk like a Christian if they want to. They can even attend services all the time if they want to, but the love that Christ enjoins upon all of us to have for one another cannot be counterfeited. You can't fake it. Now, we can learn it, and we must learn it, but you can't fake it. There's a tradition, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it is very interesting and caught my attention. It has to do with the Apostle John in his old age, and from reading some of the scriptures tonight and reading about the Apostle John, we know that his favorite theme was love. The tradition says that when John was too old and too feeble to walk, he would be carried into the church and with a voice made shaky by age would always say, "Little children, love one another. It is the Lord's commandment." And you know, brethren, every problem a congregation has, every difficulty that may arise can all be solved by adherence to this command of the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you. Also love one another. So let me encourage each of you this evening to take a moment and look around. See somewhere, know someone who you can manifest a little bit of this love. Is someone sick and needing a visit? Is there a brother or sister that you know who is a little downhearted and can use that right word from you? Maybe someone needs to be taken to the doctor, or maybe taken to the grocery, or have their grass cut, or something like that. Love in principle is like seed. Love in action is ripe fruit thereof. Oh, Prairie Village, let us be a haven of love in an ugly world. God's motivation towards people is love. Man was created as an object of God's infinite love to share in it and freely choose to love Him in return. I want us to turn to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55. And we'll look at verse 11 when we get there. The wonder of the gospel is that God loved unlovely, ungodly sinners, and His plan and purpose can never be frustrated or stopped. Nothing can stop God's word. Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." No sacrifice was too great to appeal to mankind of His unfathomable love. To solve man's greatest problem, God gave the priceless gift of His Son, the dearest and the best He had, to win back erring man. Such costly love meant that Jesus left the privilege of heaven and heaven's exaltation. He entered the world as a tiny infant wrapped in strips of rags and laid upon a feed trough. The world didn't have room for a pregnant woman, so she had to give birth to the Savior of the world in a barn. Listen to what the Apostle John says in 1 John 4 and verse 9. I'd like for you to turn to one last passage with me. 1 John 4 and verse 9. 1 John 4 and verse 9. John wrote, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful passage? Think about what He just said. By His agonizing death, we see His personal love for each individual. both great and small. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 5 and verse 8. I want you to think about what was said this evening. If there's anyone not a Christian that are listening to this sermon, I ask you, why are you not a Christian? If you're not a Christian, won't you show your love for Jesus by coming forward, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, and then live faithfully until death? Then you will receive that crown of life that Jesus promises. That crown of life, of course, is heaven. And if you're an erring Christian and you have fallen away, you too need to come back before it's eternally too late. And you do that after praying to God to ask Him for repentance, ask Him to forgive you. Come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone this evening to make their life right with God, please do it now. Do it right now as we stand and as we sing, as Brother Bill leads us in another one of those beautiful songs that he's picked out.